Hello, friends, and welcome to The Daily Good. I'm Peter, and this is a podcast of upbeat news, thoughts, stories, and music from all around the world. This podcast is here to give your day a dose of the positive instead of the relentless onslaught of news and information that revolves around the negative. Good things are happening all the time, but it's usually harder to find than the rest of the news. So, this is a brief daily oasis where I'll collect and share some of the good stuff. I certainly understand that it's important to stay aware of the issues of the day, but that can get overwhelming sometimes, and I know that I could sure use some daily reminders of the good that's out there and the great things that are happening all the time, all over the world. So with that said, here's the daily good. All right, our first good news story for the day is one that's near and dear to me in a lot of different ways. It involves Washington State, which is where I grew up and where I live now. It involves apples, which is the crop that Washington State is most famous for. And it involves history and sort of treasure hunting, things like that. So this is a story that revolves around a project called the Lost Apple Project. And this is a group of people who are dedicated to, as their name would indicate, researching and in some cases reintroducing lost varieties of apples from the American past. So what they do is they try to find old orchards that are still extant around the country, particularly in the Washington State area, and see if there are still any crops growing sort of in the wild. These were originally homesteads back in the 1800s and sometimes earlier than that. But if the homesteads were abandoned or what have you, the orchards are still there. So specifically, there are two men who work with the Lost Apple Project, a guy named E.J. Brandt and a guy named David Benscoter, who are respectively a Vietnam veteran and an ex-FBI agent. And they work with the Lost Apple Project to help find these orchards. So it turns out that in the autumn of 2019, they were looking into some abandoned orchards around a town called Genesee, Idaho, and they discovered, or they rediscovered, 10 forgotten apple varieties that experts believed had gone extinct. Now, let's put a little context around this. What's the big deal? Well, there's a couple of interesting parts to this story as far as I'm concerned. One is the level of dedication that these guys show. They have to use nursery sales ledgers that are, you know, 100, 150, 200 years old, county fair records, newspaper clippings, really old maps, anything they can get their hands on that will help them get little bits of information that could lead them towards an orchard that might have some forgotten apples in them. They really go out of their way to use all their resources to try and find these lost apples. And again, to give a sort of a sense of perspective, if you were to go around to your local grocery stores, maybe in a pretty wide search, you'd find a dozen, maybe a couple of dozen different varieties of apples, if you're lucky, if you really had a pretty wide spread of produce in your supermarkets. There were, by conservative estimates, over 17,000 individual apple varieties across North America during the homesteading era. So we've lost a tremendous amount of diversity, and that makes this project absolutely fascinating to me. This is exactly the sort of thing that I love. It's obscure. It's a tiny little rabbit hole off to the side of a bunch of major disciplines, but it's so compelling because it makes history kind of come alive in a very tangible, in this case, very edible way. So if you're interested in learning more about this, the Lost Apple Project has a Facebook page that you can go and visit where they go into a lot of detail about what they do and how they do it. So let's hear it for Nerds with a Passion. And it is time now for the good word for today. And this comes from one of our favorites here at the Daily Good Podcast, Mr. Rogers, that is Fred Rogers. Again, if you have not yet seen the documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? This is your homework. Make sure that you see that. It is uplifting and warm and brilliant and very good at restoring your faith in humanity and all the good that we're capable of doing. The quote for today from Mr. Rogers says, "If you could only sense how important you are to the lives of those you meet, how important you can be to the people you may never even dream of, there is something of yourself that you leave at every meeting with another person." It's so important. That whole quote is so important, not just from the, it's a wonderful life perspective of you really don't know how much of an effect you have on the lives of the people around you. And it's almost impossible to ever get a sense of that. But it very much is the ripple effect. The things that we do every day affect everyone around us. And it's really important, I think, to practice being aware of that, that every interaction that you have with everyone, whether it's the people that you work with, members of your family, your spouse, your children, the person who makes your coffee, the cashier at the grocery store, all of these people are having their own day. And you are a part of it. When you come in and you interact with them, you become a part of their day and you color their day. You affect how their day goes. And it's so important, I think. It's so powerful to remember that you can turn someone's day around. I do my best to always try to be the person that does something or says something to someone else that might be the thing that brightens their day, takes a bad day and makes it a good day, takes a good day and makes it a great day, what have you. This is very much within our control. This is within our power. Try to remember it as much as possible. Try to keep that little bit of Mr. Rogers going in the back of your mind whenever you can. And so we come to our second good news story for this podcast, and this is a great one. This again comes in the midst of the coronavirus crisis and all of the truly amazing, almost breathtaking stories that you're hearing from around the world. This one comes again from the UK, a place that is near and dear to my heart. And if you have been paying attention in the news and able to hear any good news stories from other sources, you may have come across this one. This involves a 99-year-old World War II veteran named Captain Tom Moore, who lives about 50 miles north of London. And he has become something of a fundraising phenomenon for first responders and National Health Service workers in the UK. Basically, what happened was his daughter wanted to encourage him to stay active during the lockdown. So she said that she would give him £1 for every length of his backyard that he would walk with his walker, what they call a Zimmer frame, but what we would call a walker here in the United States. So if he was able to do 100 laps or 100 lengths rather by his 100th birthday, which was coming up, that she would be donating £100. Well, the news got around. So they set up a fundraising page with a site called Just Giving, and their goal was to try to raise £1,000 by the end of the month. But then the local news got a hold of the story and put it out there, and people started donating. Lots of people started donating. So they crushed their initial target of £1,000, so they raised the goal to £5,000. And they crushed that, so they went up to £50,000, and then £250,000. And when all was said and done, in 11 days, he raised £18 million for the National Health Service. He finished up last Thursday. He did his last lengths in a suit and tie with his medals on his suit and was received as he wrapped things up with a guard of honor and some healthcare workers cheering him on. He was interviewed and said, "It isn't for me, it's for all the people, the doctors and the nurses, whichever country you're in, it's for them, because they are doing so well. They are the front line, and we're all behind giving them backup, providing the goods they need, and a little pat on the back to tell them how well they are doing." So, obviously, this is an incredibly good piece of news. And I think over and above the story itself, there's another layer of meaning, I think, for all of us to take away, which is to think about this guy who has already had a life of service. He was a World War II veteran. He served his country overseas. That's already worthy of comment and commendation. But here he is. He's 99 years old, so nearing the end of his life, no matter how you look at it. And he still has managed to find a way to do something for others, and it has turned into something absolutely extraordinary. I think that's important for all of us to remember. It's never too late. There's no such thing as too late to have an effect on the world or your part of the world. You just need to look around at what you've got at your disposal, what you can do, and see how you can kind of maximize that or just do anything. It doesn't have to be massive. You don't need to raise 18 million pounds in a few days. But do look around and see where the needs are near you and how you can possibly do something to help. Thanks, Captain Tom. And so it's time now for Wonderful World, which is the part of the podcast where we see the sights of the world through modern technology. And today we are seeing an absolute wonder of the world with the Great Wall of China. There's a terrific website that has a 360-degree virtual tour along the Great Wall of China. Obviously, it's not the full length of the Great Wall. That would take days and weeks to do, but it is a pretty good overview. It is one of those where you kind of click and drag to get your 360-degree views, and you can push arrows to kind of wander down certain lengths of the Great Wall. But it's absolutely breathtaking, for one thing, to see just the sheer scale of the thing and to ponder the amount of planning and engineering that went into the construction of the Great Wall of China. And also, from an aesthetic point of view, the pictures themselves are absolutely lovely because they've been taken at different times of the year. So there are portions of this tour where the wall is dusted with snow. It's absolutely lovely. So make sure to check out the episode notes for this podcast on the website and check out the China Guide's 360-degree virtual tour of the Great Wall of China. And so this brings us to Sounds Good, which is the part of the podcast where I talk about music and things musical that I find beautiful or interesting or compelling. And today's artist is all of those things. And that artist is Brian Eno, who is one of the most influential figures in music of the last probably 30 or 40 years. You may have seen his name in the album credits of any number of albums in your collection. That's because he's worn a lot of hats. He has been a producer, he has been a songwriter, he has been a collaborator, he's been a performer, and his career has spanned so many different influences. It's sort of breathtaking. So, not gonna get into a whole lot about his career. You can certainly look him up and discover for yourself what he's done. Just a short list would be helping to produce albums by people like Devo and Talking Heads and U2, just to name a few. And he was even a member of the band Roxy Music back in the 1970s. But one of the biggest influences that he's had in the music world has been to essentially create the musical form that we know as ambient music, which is a phrase that he actually coined. He released a series of albums in the 1970s that were the first ambient music albums, and they are just lovely. Again, ambient music is intentionally spacious and sort of musically ambiguous. It's not meant to pick you up and move you around. It's meant to give you space mentally and emotionally and allow things to breathe. So I'm not going to say a whole lot more about it, except that it's worth picking up a couple of albums, and they are quite simply titled Ambient 1, Ambient 2, Ambient 3, and Ambient 4. There are subtitles for each of those albums, but ultimately that's what you need to know, and those are the albums that you should go and seek out. Give them a listen, but give them a casual listen. Put them on in the background while you're doing other things, and just sort of let them wash over you. And again, go and look up Brian Eno for yourself. His last name is spelled E-N-O. There's nothing tricky about it. And learn a little bit about the guy. He's a very compelling figure, and the music is, in its own very soft, very gentle way, just as compelling. That's it for the Daily Good today. There are links to everything we talked about in today's podcast on the website at www.the-daily-good.com. Thanks for joining me. Come back tomorrow or anytime you need a boost.